The Son of God came to dwell among us, to bear our sin in his body and in his flesh, so that we might be saved from sin and that we might have our place in eternal glory. His life among us began at Bethlehem, born into our human being, into our human flesh as a baby. And so John 1:14 tells us, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the Son of God in this verse is described as the Word who became flesh. The book of Revelation speaks of his second coming at the end of the age, when he will appear in glory to all the world. And in John's vision in the book of Revelation, he describes one who is a rider on a white horse. He is faithful and true, and he is called the Word of God. The first two verses of John chapter 1 say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And those words remind us, don't they, of the very first words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create the heavens and the earth? He didn't make the heavens and the earth from something that was some stuff that was already there. No, he spoke his word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke and God speaks. And his desire is to speak to the world that he has made. His desire is to speak to all of us and to call us by his word. His desire is to be known by us. His desire is to be not alone. To speak to us, he had to create us and make us in such a way that we could respond and answer his call. He had to make us in such a way that we could hear his word and answer. So he created us in his image. The word of God, John tells us, is full of grace and truth. He is the word of grace. We did not deserve life on this wonderful world. It's only by his grace that the world exists. As I said, God didn't make it out of something that was already there. The universe was created out of nothing by his word. That means the whole universe, as well as you and me, only exists by the grace of God. It's a word of grace and a word of truth. What he said, he did. He did not lie. He said, let there be light. And there was light. It was a true word. We can think of all the light of the sun and the stars. They didn't light themselves. They had to be lit by the eternal light, who is God. It was a word of truth that he spoke. The foundation of all the universe and of all our lives is the word of grace and truth, who is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. When we speak with one another using words, We share a bit of ourselves with one another, don't we? We reveal something of ourselves to one another. That's the basis of human friendship and relationship. That's how we know one another. You could come and measure me and take all sorts of technical details and medical details about me and then analyze me and put me through one of these scanners they have in these hospitals these days, but if I never spoke, you wouldn't know me. We know one another by speaking a word and hearing the response from those who answer us. And so God knows us and is known by us by his word. He shares something of himself with us, and we respond by sharing ourselves with him. So he came among us in Bethlehem. He gives of himself to the world. But he doesn't speak with overwhelming power to deafen us, or reveal us to himself to us in overwhelming light, for then we would be deafened or blinded. But he stoops to our level so that we can grasp and hear his word and understand his word. So he took our flesh upon himself. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas, that God has shared his whole being with us. Now, not all received that word. King Herod rejected the word, as we read in the Christmas story. And as the Bible predicts, we turn away. John 1, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's one of the sad verses in the Bible, isn't it? There was no room in the inn. But, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be the children of God. Another chapter in the New Testament, which we're reminded of when we read John 1, is Hebrews 1, which also has the theme of God speaking his word to us in Christ. When the Jews think of God speaking to their ancestors, they think of him speaking through angels, because often when we read the Old Testament, we read of angels appearing to Abraham and to Moses and to others. And when we read the Christmas story, we read of angels appearing to Mary, to Joseph. We read of the chorus of angels appearing to the shepherds. Some people regard this all as a myth, because we don't in our normal experience see angels. We don't see into heaven. As I was explaining this morning, we simply couldn't live normal human lives if we could just see into heaven or into hell. So necessarily these are closed from us. And of course our own sin has brought a barrier between this earth and heaven. But from time to time, God's purposes are that heaven should impinge for a moment upon the earth. A foretaste of that great unveiling of the heavens on the last day, when heaven and earth will be brought back together, God and mankind reunited. And of course, when heaven does for a moment impinge upon the earth, angels are seen. But that's what happened when the Lord of heaven was born into our world. And it happens from time to time in great movements of the Spirit, in revivals that we hear of in various parts of the world. We read of angels, as I said, throughout the Old Testament. It was the way that God spoke to the men and women he had chosen, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Elijah, to Elisha, to Isaiah, to Ezekiel, to Daniel, and many others. It was the angel from the presence of God that kept Israel safe. The first verse of Hebrews 1 tells us in many ways God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. And as Hebrews chapter 1 unfolds, it is clear that the one main way that God spoke to our fathers, that's the Old Testament saints, was through angels. That was the main way. His word came to them. So the first four verses of Hebrews 1 say, in the past God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now these same angels who had revealed to the Old Testament prophets the word of God that the Messiah would come, now rejoice that the Messiah has come. And so verse 6 of Hebrews 1 says, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And that's what happens in Luke 2, verse 13 to 15. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now it's clear that we human beings are lower than the angels. Our sinful ways have cut us off from heaven. We think of angels as higher beings than us. But that is not God's intention. It was the Hebrew belief, based on the Old Testament, the Word of God, that we were created by God to be higher than the angels, for we were created in his image, to be his children, to be heirs with Christ, his Son. But the Son of God came lower than the angels. He was born in Bethlehem. And in this world of hardship, he was tempted and troubled. Yet, we read, he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. He went down into death for us in order to lift us up to heaven. And so in the next chapter of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9, we read, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In God's purposes, angels are to serve him and all who inherit his salvation. Verse 14 of Hebrews 1 says, are not all angels ministering or serving spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Even now we read of the angel's service. We talk about guardian angels, don't we? Perhaps too loosely, but the Bible does refer to guardian angels. And I know people, I don't know whether they're speaking the truth or not, but I have no reason to really to doubt their word, who claim to have sometimes seen an angel next to a saintly person. But Matthew 18 verse 10 says about little children, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Angels in the past were but messengers from God. In those ways, He spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, the writer of the Hebrews says, he has spoken to us through his Son. Not through intermediaries anymore, but he's let his own word come to us as he's met us face to face in Christ. So although it is true that no one has seen God at any time, it is also true that the only Son who is from the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. Let us pray. Lord God, our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us in stooping to our level so that we might hear your word and meet you face to face in Christ. We pray that the whole world may hear that word spoken to us in Christ, a word of holiness, truth, love, grace, and righteousness. And on hearing that word, may many respond to that call, and hearing, believe, and receive that word, so that it may take root in their hearts and bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. Through Christ our Saviour we pray. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this night and forevermore.